7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, and Joshua Cosman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
All right. Howdy, buckaroos, and welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a very pleasant weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are hoping you can call and participate, or at least listen at any rate. The number here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. 415-841-4134. It's a great time to call in right now. Our lines are open. Sometimes it does get a little backed up over the last few minutes of the show, so give us a call as soon as you can with a question or answer. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Those of you who emailed me last week saying that our show was not up and online and available, it is now. So thanks to Kevin. Thank you very much. And so it should be available on the KALW website. I cannot speak for any other website, but it is available at KALW. So if you missed last week's show, it is there now. And also want to remind you that you can hear this show online anywhere in the world as we know it today, simply by going to KALW.org. That's KALW.org. And also, if you'd like a podcast of this show, as I just mentioned, it should be available afterwards at KALW.org. So, all that being said, we will now move on to the next chapter of our show, which is reading of the introductions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman suspects summer here should be ending shortly, just about the time it officially begins in 3 weeks.
Thank you. Joshua Cosman must know something, but don't say nothing.
And falsifying that immediately, I'll say that now that June is busting out all over, our moderator Dana Rodriguez expects that Jerry will soon be asking for her phone number.
All right, so that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Oh, much maligned, Jerry Nachman.
Well, okay. That's a complimentary.
Well, here's a nice segue from Joshua's introduction. The San Francisco Opera opened Showboat today with music by Jerome Kernan, lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein. Except for one show whose lyrics were written by somebody else.
One song.
For another show. I have to recuse you, Dana.
Yeah, I was about to recuse myself.
Yeah. Except for one song whose lyrics were written by somebody else for another show. What was the song and who was that earlier lyricist?
The earlier lyricist was P.G. Woodhouse.
Right.
A very unlikely lyricist for Bill, I believe it was.
Bill, that's yes. Right. Very good. Okay. Okay.
I knew those two things. I didn't know what the show was. What show was that written for?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It was written for one of the Princess Theater shows.
Yeah, one of the.
Like
yeah.
in 1970, yeah. 1980.
A much
around.
Lighter show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, well, let me ask another.
All right.
The Charleston was, of course, the big dance craze of the 1920s. But what former dance craze did it replace?
So you're looking for the name of the dance? Okay. Was there a song and the dance that like went together, like the Charleston?
Probably, but I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there was. It may have come out of a song.
The Lindy Hop is later, right?
That's 30s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I've exhausted my knowledge of archaic dancings now. Unless it was the minuet.
There were a lot of them in the first couple of decades.
Yeah. You all know this.
Sure.
Like I doubt if you dance to it, but...
Like the Grizzly Bear or something like that.
Things like that, yeah.
The Charleston. Don't know.
Huh, I have to think about that.
Okay.
Repeat the question, would you?
The Charleston was a big dance craze of the 20s, but what former dance... What earlier dance craze did it replace?
It wasn't something to do with the castles, like the Maxime or something like that.
No.
Okay. Okay. And
the Castle Walk.
Yeah, the Castle Walk. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hi, Gareth.
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Okay, we can't hear you too well tonight. You've got to move in or something.
As always.
Okay. My first one is, what namesake of what game manufacturer makes shotguns?
The namesake of the... Say it once more, would you?
What namesake of what board game manufacturer makes shotguns?
A board game manufacturer? There's another company that... Another company that has the same name? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but they're not part of the same company.
We're the board game guys.
I don't know any guns.
Is there a major name?
I'll give you a clue. It involves a member of a family, the name.
So when you say guns, they're not BB guns. They're real guns.
No, shotguns.
Shotguns.
Okay.
Huh.
Parker Brothers.
Yeah, give yourself a bell.
Oh, okay. Good.
My second question, I'm not sure Josh might already answer this question. What do both film composers Herbert Stothart and Frank Skinner have in common?
What are their names again?
Herbert Stothart, you might remember he started out as a Broadway. He used to work with Oscar Hammerstein, Rudolph Frimmel, and Frank Skinner. They're both film composers, but they both have one thing in common. What is it?
I still didn't get the name of
Frank Skinner and Herbert Stothart.
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 Oh, yeah. Oscar for Wizard of Oz.
And okay. I remember Gladys Swarthout.
Not Swarthout.
No, that's different. I don't know their names.
When you say, what do they have in common? Is this a professional thing?
In a professional thing, yes.
I don't know their names.
Did they both work with the same lyricist or write for the same singer?
No, it involves a certain film studio.
Oh, well, Skinner was at Universal.
Yes, but can you explain that? You know why it was Universal? What was unique about it? Was Alpha Universal?
Well, he did a lot of the scores for the monster movies at Universal. I know
that. But it was with something. You know what it is?
No.
You don't want to give it to him?
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
It's Alpha, but for the same studio, Universal. He never worked for another one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
What about Stoddard?
Right. I worked at MGM.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're beginning to... It was the same reason it's Skinner. He did all of his input was for MGM.
Right. Thanks, yeah. Gareth.
Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. So we were talking about musicals before we went on air, and it occurred to me I had never asked you guys this wordplay question. I've been thinking of a one-word Broadway musical from the 1950s. If you take the letters of that are in the name and duplicate them as necessary and rearrange. So it's kind of like an anagram, but you're using multiple copies of the letters as need be. You get another popular Broadway musical from the 40s. Three words.
The first one is one word.
The first one is one
word.
Can
you tell us how many letters in the word?
Six. Six letters.
All right. Keep going.
And that's from the 50s. And take all those letters and rearrange them as many times as you need. You get a three-word Broadway musical from the 40s.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I can give you the exact years if that'll help.
Okay, go ahead.
Sure. The one-word musical is from 1953, and the three-word musical using all those letters is from 1948.
And it's—okay, three words.
Three words is the longer one.
53 is the first one.
Right. Uh-huh. That's the short, that's the six-letter, one-word musical.
Okay, yeah.
Call Me Madam.
Good guess, but no.
All right. All right. Let me go ahead and ask.
I thought about it all week. I could give it to you next
week. Yeah, you'll get it. Someone will get it.
All right. What is the... I've been asking questions here and there about most popular or most visited tourist attractions in various countries in the world. What is the most popular tourist attraction in Canada? The single most visited tourist attraction in Canada.
Is there one?
There is. What is the single most popular and visited tourist attraction in Canada?
Well, the only place I ever visited there was the I think it's called the Fields of Montcalm. Is that a battle? A battle of some kind?
Yeah, I think it is a battle. But no, I haven't been there. You got one?
I have no idea why I was there. But
nope. I got nothing. The only thing I know is there's a beautiful park in Vancouver whose name I can't remember, but I don't think people go to Vancouver as much as I do.
It's a beautiful city.
It's a gorgeous city. Yeah, it's the best city what can be.
Yeah.
But
all right. Second question. What is the name of the bear on the California flag?
Not Smokey?
Nope.
He's got a name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Golden?
And I'll give you just a little background. The bear, the original bear, was in the zoo in Golden Gate Park. That's where it actually, that's where it was, the inspiration for it came from.
Sturdy, like our sturdy golden bears?
Well, that's interesting, but no. What is the name of the bear on the California flag? And what is the most popular tourist attraction in Canada? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I have no idea, but popping into my mind was Black Bottom.
No, that's a good guess.
That's a very good guess.
Very good guess, but it's not
how about me asking you guys something?
All right, go ahead.
Maya Angelou did so many wonderful and varied things in her life. What kind of job did she get as a young woman on Fillmore Street in San Francisco?
Well, I think she was a hooker for a while.
No,
she was.
No, she
was.
Oh, no,
was she really?
She admitted that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was in San Francisco,
no,
but, she did. That was definitely part of her resume.
Was it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Well,
I know she was a singer in San Francisco.
Yeah, she was. She sang at the Hungry Eye. That was how she started.
Did you ever see her there?
No.
Okay.
No.
But what did she do on Fillmore Street is the question.
She did a job, and she got one.
Wasn't she like a streetcar conductor at some point?
Oh, very good.
You're right.
That's it.
But
you're
is that the one you're looking for?
Nope.
Okay.
She was a streetcar conductor.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Fillmore Street.
Well, if you want an answer, I'll give it to you.
All right, go ahead.
We do. Please do.
All right. Well, she saw a sign, and they were looking for somebody to do something in this restaurant. And she ended up cooking soul food. Rice was the only thing she knew how to make, but she was able to improvise. And earned a living.
Wow.
Amazing woman.
Amazing.
Yes, incredible.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Let me take a guess.
What was her guess? Black Bottom?
Black Bottom.
For what?
For a dance.
Got it.
The Canadian tourist spot, was that? I think Niagara Falls is partly in Canada.
Yes, Niagara Falls is it. Yes, very good. I have a question. Maya Angelou died, and I always heard her name pronounced as Maya Angelou, but it's amazing how many news on the news you would hear people say Maya Angelou.
The Times said
it was supposed to be that
way. That surprised me, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I never heard it said that way either.
Well, but it was so her husband was Greek, and it was Angelos.
And she just changed it from that.
All right.
I thought that was kind of a made-up name.
I never heard it pronounced Maya Angelou until she died. No, I never during her lifetime did I hear anybody say anything.
But apparently,
apparently
that was the correct pronunciation.
All right.
So now
okay.
we know.
All right.
And that's too late to do us any good.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Okay. A child was born in Boston to parents who were both born there, but the child was not a U.S. citizen. How is this possible?
Born before 1776.
Yeah, that's too easy. Okay, all right. You guys are too smart. Okay, let me give you...
Where are you getting these questions?
Well, this was a... I don't usually do kind of riddles like that.
All right.
Okay. What famous movie star recently endeared herself, at least to me, by saying, quote, "People are going to get sick of me. My picture is everywhere. My interviews are everywhere. I'm way too annoying. As much as you hate me, I'm 10 steps ahead of you."
That's great.
I love that quote.
Is it Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
It sounded like her. I hadn't seen that quote, but that sounds like, yeah.
She has a good sense of herself.
That's terrific. Isn't that a great quote? I love her. I love her.
Everybody loves her.
I've never seen her in anything, but now I love her.
Oh, you should. Yeah. She's terrific.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. The tourist attraction in Canada is Niagara Falls.
Thank you.
And the dance is perhaps the Morris.
No, that's a good guess, too. I think that was earlier, way earlier, before.
Morris dancing is like medieval, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it goes back, it actually goes up
to the 20th century.
No, it's not medieval. It's an old English dance.
Yeah.
No, that's a good...
Good guess.
Good guess, but not right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Henrik in Montague.
Hello.
I got a geographical question.
Okay, good.
Some English words are written using only one vowel letter, like helplessness, the letter E three times, but I would like place names. For three-syllable names, we have Arkansas, and in Australia there is Uluru, also known as Ayers Rock, and there is Tennessee, where the last syllable is spelled with a double E. But several place names with four syllables are also written using only one vowel letter. Two of them should be very easy.
One of those two is Mississippi.
Right.
You're good. But,
and a little bit to the west of Mississippi,
is
or thereabouts. And four, on the other side.
Four, another four-syllable place four, name?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Is it? Can you describe? I mean, is it a city or a river or something?
It's a U.S. state like Mississippi.
Oh, a state
near Mississippi, even.
Oh, Alabama is right next door.
Right. Good. Now there are a few other four-syllable place names using only one vowel letter, but I would like you to name one where each vowel is double as the last syllable in Tennessee. So what I'm looking for is a place name that has the same vowel letter eight times.
Wow.
Eight times?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is not in the United States.
No. I can give you a couple of hints.
Well, we'll get there. Don't sell us short yet. Okay. Now.
Yeah. Give us the hint.
Is it an E?
Sorry?
Is the vowel
E? No, it's not an E.
Does Okefenokee get any... fill any requirements?
No, because it's got an O and an E.
Oh, it's got an O. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say it was in the United States or not?
He said it was not.
Not in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to say whether it's a country or a city or anything like that?
I can. It's a district of a city in a broadish country. And one hint is the actor Russell Crowe bought a 14 million penthouse there.
Huh. I think this is a place name I've never heard. That's my guess. I'm getting that feeling.
Yeah.
Is it...
Eight
O's.
Eight O's, God.
I'm assuming it's...
It sounds Australian, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're right about eight O's, and you're right about Australia.
Yeah, but it's somewhere,
I don't think we know the name, Sydney.
But we don't know the name of it.
Wallabaloo.
Tell us.
There you go.
Really?
You said.
Walla. I don't know.
Wallabaloo is right.
My God.
Three L's, one M,
wow.
Eight O's, and a W. And Monty Python had a skit about a group of faculty members of a fictitious university that was named for this place. So it's a district of Sydney.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. Four movies have won Best Picture without their directors being nominated for Best Director. Can you name them?
Grand Hotel's one.
That's one.
Best picture. Is The Last Emperor one?
No.
Okay. Can you say how far they're spread out?
Very far.
Well, obviously Grand Hotel is 32, but
much further than that.
Much further than that.
Yep.
Okay. Much further than that.
Yeah.
Well,
you said the movie one, but not the director.
Right. The movie one, and the director wasn't even nominated.
Not even nominated.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
The movie won, and the director
wasn't even nominated. So you knew Grand Hotel. I didn't know that one. Who's the director for that?
Edmund Goulding.
Okay.
I only knew that basically because there was only one nomination for the movie, and that was for Best Picture.
Ah, right, okay.
Which it won.
Got it.
So, okay. All right. Do you want to give the decades? Maybe you can.
No, I don't. I'll just say that they're very, very, very spread out.
All right.
Pretty much almost as maximally spread out
as... Can I ask you this? Is Grand Hotel the earliest one?
It is not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think you knocked us out of the park.
Well, no. Cimarron, Wesley Ruggles.
No.
All right. Okay.
You just wanted to let us know that you knew who directed Cimarron.
Are any of them fairly contemporary?
Yes. They're really spread out.
How many are there once more?
Four. There are four.
Okay. Minus the one I got? No,
four, including the one you got. Right, so there's three left.
Okay.
You've taken 25% of the fun from our listeners.
Right. Good. I can sleep well tonight.
I bet you can.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Brooklyn.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
I'm going to try Broadway Melody for earlier than...
Very good.
Was that right?
Oh, for the films?
Harry Belmont.
No, that is not correct. Good guess, but wrong.
Now, I'm trying to get a bell desperately because I've been calling in and not getting it. It's the 1948 musical Kiss Me, Kate.
It is. Oh, what's the 53 musical?
Oh, my God, I wrote that down, too.
So, Kismet is the 53 thing.
Exactly.
Good job.
Kismet and Kiss Me, Kate is exactly right. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So I have a list. This is according to Consumer Reports. These are the five most dangerous cities in the United States for pedestrians. And they're all well-known cities. No, nothing obscure here. These are the five most dangerous cities in the United States for pedestrians, you know, in terms of them being hit by a car as you cross the street, according to Consumer Reports. I'll give you each a couple of guesses if you want.
Well, my first guess would be Boston. Is that right?
No, there is no city on the East Coast, and no, I take that back. No, there's no city in the Northeast anyway. Let's put it that way.
Los Angeles.
No.
There's no pedestrians in Los Angeles.
No,
that's true.
Not if they can help it anyway.
That's true.
San Francisco's not on the list, is it?
No, it is not.
Okay, good.
Not in the top five anyway.
Yeah.
No?
No.
All right. Again, according to Consumer Reports, these are the top five cities, the most dangerous cities for pedestrians in the United States. And nothing in the Northeast, so don't just mention New York or Philadelphia. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
We're coming up on the 70th anniversary of D-Day.
Yes.
Which, as we know, is the largest amphibious assault in history. Before 1944, what military event had that title and who commanded?
That would be Gallipoli.
No.
Oh. Largest amphibious assault. Huh. Is it in the 20th century?
No.
Oh, okay. Hmm. More interesting. Not 20th century. Does this go back by any chance to ancient times?
No.
Huh. Right.
So I will give you a hint. The overall commander was a British admiral.
Is this the American Revolution then?
No.
Is it Nelson?
No.
I've run out of admirals.
British admiral.
It must be the War of 1812 then, huh?
No. War of Spanish Succession.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Way above my pay grade.
So it's
That's the one where Britain got Gibraltar.
Right. So it's about 1740 or something.
Yes.
1730, 40.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you want to know where the assault was?
Yes. And
how
commanded.
It must have been on the Mediterranean side, right?
No.
Oh, it wasn't. Well, I'm
in the Americas.
It was in the Americas.
Yes.
Gosh.
Give up, yeah.
I'm doing worse and worse here. I give up.
Cut your losses.
Yeah.
It was the invasion of Cartagena.
Oh, of course.
And it was commanded by our old friend, Admiral Edward Vernon.
Oh, as in Mount Vernon.
As in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
You squeeze
also,
there and you can't out of that guy.
Yeah, you
half-brother Lawrence served in that campaign.
You got your money's worth out of Admiral Vernon.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
The dance that the Charleston took over, was it like the foxtrot?
Ooh.
No, well, that's kind of a generic dance.
Yeah.
It's more of a craze.
Right.
It's more of a faddish dance.
All right. So it wasn't. A Canadian tourist biggest attraction. How about the CN Tower?
No, somebody actually answered that. It was Niagara Falls.
Oh. Okay.
I answered that.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody answered that. Please.
Somebody named Jerry answered that.
All right. I have two questions for you, actually. One more for Dana and Jerry. I was looking on YouTube on various portions of What's My Line. Who sat in Dorothy Kilgallen's seat when the panelists got together to offer tributes to their fallen panelist?
Ooh.
You mean...
when she died in 65.
You mean after she died?
Right.
You mean this was somebody already on the panel or a guest?
No, it was someone... And she was also a quiz show mainstay, just not necessarily that one.
Oh, probably
Arlene Francis?
Kitty Carlisle.
It was Kitty Carlisle.
Yeah, I do recall that.
All right. Okay, this is more for Joshua.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you've heard about, the Bartok pits and the Wagner tubas.
Yes.
But I can only think of one ensemble that's named after a piece of music.
A performing ensemble.
A performing ensemble named after a specific piece of music. And not, string quartet. That's
right. No, I understand.
And it's a certain combination that when you get these players together, it's almost always called this.
Well, there's a few of that. There's the Pierrot ensemble.
Exactly what I had in mind.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about a specific ensemble like the Juilliard String Quartet or the... you're talking about a particular configuration of instrument.
Configuration, exactly what I had in mind.
The Pierrot Lunaire.
Yeah, exactly, because then for all the listeners and the other panelists, it consists of a clarinet, flute, violin, cello, piano, and then you have the vocalist, which sometimes does not appear, and it's sometimes replaced by a percussionist.
There
so like a piece like I Met Heiner on the Roof Furstenberg by Morton Feldman is Pierrot Ensemble.
There we go.
All
right.
Good.
And
thanks.
We're done.
Thanks,
Marky.
All right.
Bye.
And Jerry, I believe it's your turn.
How did the famous nickname for Broadway, known as the Great White Way, although before that it was called the Gay White Way, I don't know if you... But how did that originate? Why was it called that, the Great White Way? Still called that.
Isn't it the bright lights, the
neon
lights?
Nothing to do with the lights.
Really?
No.
Have anything
That's
to
what
do
I
with?
Always assume, too.
Huh. Jim Crow laws?
Yeah, I just think I almost thought about that too.
No.
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 Huh.
Why is it called The Great White Way?
Is it linked directly to a theatrical reason?
No.
Okay. Hmm. And it's not the lights?
No.
Great White Way. Don't know.
Okay. This is a reach. Is there anything to do with the Great White Fleet that there would Theodore Roosevelt's?
No.
Okay.
Someone will know, and it isn't us.
All right. And if you'd like to join us here on Minds Over Matter, we certainly would like to have you. If you just call 415-841-4134. Again, the number to join us is 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Give us a call, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid, how are you?
Good.
So every year, about 182 people in the United States get killed by dogs. So, how much percent out of 100, the three most dangerous dogs? In other words...
Well, pit bulls, of course.
How much percent?
Oh, what percent?
What percent?
Well, there aren't that many... owned.
I have a pit bull, and I resent that remark.
Well, is it a full-bred pit bull?
Yeah, is it friendly? Yeah. As friendly as all heck.
66%.
Well, yeah, it's really the owners, as they say. Yeah. I don't know. So pit bull is correct for one of them?
Say it again?
Pit bull is correct for one of them.
Yes, it is the most dangerous. 66% for every 100 American are killed by pit bulls. 6%.
How do you answer that?
Rottweilers.
It's
all how you raise them.
According to some organization that deal with that. What is the second most dangerous?
Rottweilers.
Very good. How much percent?
What do we have left? 33? So let's say 25%.
No, only 11%.
Oh, only 11%.
Okay, what is the third one?
Wait, now
much
I've got...
lower. The third species.
Really, really mean poodles.
They bark, they don't really. They bite, but they don't kill.
Doberman.
A lot.
Oh, Doberman.
Say it again.
Doberman.
Doberman, believe it or not, but one other.
No? German Shepherd.
That's it. 4%.
Wow.
Dogs are very
dangerous.
For
everybody who owns pit bulls, please reconsider and get rid of them. They are not good for people at all.
I disagree. I'm sorry.
Well,
that I think they're...
Okay, because of that, I'll ask another question. In 1967,
now look what you've done.
In 1967, a U.S. ship was bombed by a country. What ship and what country? You had 34 American were killed, 179 were badly injured. They tried to sink the ship, but the ship refused to sink. In fact, if the ship sunk, we may have had Third World War then, but that was the intention. It's a false flag operation. What country bombed the ship? 1967.
In
Mediterranean.
This, yeah, it was, right. It wasn't, it was either Israel or Egypt, wasn't it?
What is the ship first?
I cannot remember the name of the ship.
You don't remember? I'll give you the name. The USS Liberty.
All right.
Okay. What country bombed it?
Oh, it was it was either Israel or Egypt because it was during the. It was right around the time of the war.
Well, you were correct. Some sort. But the country that attacked the ship was Israel, and they were trying to put the blame on Egypt, and that would to start the fuse of Third World War. The true story. If you Google search Operation Cyanide. See what I mean.
All right.
Thank you, guys. All of the great show.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, now that Eve has infuriated pit bull lovers and people who are sympathetic to Israel, all I can say is pit bulls are great dogs. You have to, if you raise them right, you won't find a better dog around. So.
Yeah, but most people that own them are not like you, gentle souls.
Yes, you have to be responsible.
For some reason, they want them... Because they have a killer instinct.
They do not have a killer instinct. You won't find a more loyal, loving dog. So
okay.
I don't like bad mouthing them. And
why did you get a pit bull? I'm just curious.
Because it was a sweet dog, and we like to show that they're actually good dogs at heart.
I think they look very fierce. That has nothing to do with it.
They're not. They're really not.
Okay.
They're quite nice dogs. And Josh, I think it's your turn.
It is my turn. Here's a question for you. What is the most widely spoken Germanic language that is not spoken natively in Europe?
Germanic language. English.
No. English is spoken natively in the UK, which is part of Europe.
Oh, all right. Not according to the English. Germanic language. And is not spoken natively in Europe.
Right.
Okay. All right, I have to think about that.
Think about that.
Ask it once more.
What is the most widely spoken Germanic language that is not spoken natively anywhere in Europe?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello?
Nope.
Sorry. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. You're on. Are you there? Hello? No? Try it again. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Getting a lot of hang-ups. Since he...
Pit bull owners are after us.
They're not after me. All right. Let me ask a question. If you'd like to join us here, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're every Sunday at 7. The number is 415-841-4134. If we dropped your call, please give us a call back. All right. According to the American Symphony League, over the last 5 years, what are the five most performed orchestral pieces by American composers? Over the last 5 years, according to the American Symphony League, what are the five most performed orchestral pieces by American classical composers?
Well, Barbara Adagio for strings.
No. And I was surprised.
Interesting.
As well. But no.
Rhapsody in Blue.
That is one, not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's your guess. Okay. Jerry, do you want to guess on one?
Nixon on the beach or whatever it's called. No?
That's a mixture of two things. It's Einstein in the beach and Nixon in China.
Okay.
All right. Maybe. Although there was...
my version better.
There was a famous picture of Nixon on the beach wearing his wingtips.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes.
Yes. But no.
Or Einstein in China.
Yeah. But no. According to the American Symphony League, what are the five most performed orchestral pieces of American classical music over the last 5 years? Okay, over the last 5 years. And so far we have Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin. What are the other four?
How about the other Gershwin, whatever it's called, something in...
Concerto in F.
Yeah.
Oh.
Concerto in F.
No, that's the only Gershwin piece.
Okay.
In the top five.
I'm going to take one more guess.
All right, go ahead.
Is John Adams' piece Short Ride in a Fast Machine on there?
It is not.
Chairman Dances?
No, there are no John Adams pieces in the top five anyway.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hello.
I think that the Germanic language not spoken natively in Europe has to be Afrikaans.
Yes, it is. Well done.
Very good.
Yeah, no, I had to kill in on that one. That was good.
All right.
Okay. Before rock records started being bootlegged, in other words, when people would take, like, audience tapes and press them on records and sell those, semi-legally, what genre of music was the one that was commonly bootlegged in the world, including America?
Commonly bootlegged, previous to rock records.
Rock started being bootlegged in the 60s. Actually,
I would have guessed jazz, just because it would be sort of, you know, improvised and people would be there and want to record it.
I would have guessed that too, but that's not it.
That's not right.
I would say, how about blues or R&B?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe those Red Fox Party Records?
Oh, good guess.
No, I like that, but that's not it.
All right.
Huh.
So jazz makes the most sense to me as like a thing, an art that prizes live performance.
Yeah.
But this one also prizes live performance.
But it's not, okay, so it's not jazz, it's not blues, it's not R&B. It wouldn't be, no.
Country?
It wouldn't be opera, would it?
It is opera.
Oh, Kevin
no
got
kidding.
That.
According to a book about the history of bootlegging that I just read.
All right, good job, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right, thanks,
good.
Guys.
Thanks,
thank
Alec.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We have to repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. We're a little way past halfway through the show.
Someone was asleep at the switch.
I was, yeah.
Oh, was it you?
Jerry?
Charleston was the big dance craze of the 20s, but what earlier dance craze did it replace? And how did the famous nickname for Broadway, The Great White Way, originate?
I'm looking for the four films that have won a Best Picture Oscar without their directors being nominated even for Best Director. There were four of them, extending from 1927 through 2012. Dana got Grand Hotel. I'm looking for the other three.
Through 2012. Well, you should nail that one.
Hey, you know, it's 20 minutes of. I'm trying to throw you some bones here.
All right. According to Consumer Reports, what are the five most dangerous cities for pedestrians in the United States? Most of them are in the southern part of our country. I'll give you that. Yeah. And according to Consumer Reports, what are the five most dangerous cities for pedestrians in the U.S.? Let's see. What is the name of the bear on the California flag? It was once a resident of Golden Gate Park. What is the name of the bear on the California flag? And according to the American Symphony League, over the last 5 years, what are the five most performed orchestral pieces by American classical composers? According to the American Symphony League, what are the five most performed orchestral pieces by American classical composers over the last 5 years?
How about the bear is named Teddy?
No.
Okay. Okay. What about the Candide Overture?
No.
Okay.
There are no overtures
on
the list. And
not even the William Tell, huh?
Not even the William Tell. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is David in Berkeley.
Hello.
Hi, I was calling for Afrikaans, but it was bot.
There you go.
There's a bell.
But, and I have a question. I mean, yes, I have a question. But first I will try for the symphonic works by American composers. Is Appalachian Spring one of them?
It is not.
Ooh.
How about Rodeo?
It is not.
All right, I will keep guessing because that would be wrong.
I don't know about that.
I missed the first 25 minutes of the show, so perhaps this already came up. But there was an incorrect question last week, so I want to re-ask it so that y'all can give the correct answer again, as you already did. And the question was, who was the founder of the Sierra Club? According to the Sierra Club, on their website, where it says, our founder...
I think I said John Muir last week, but
that was correct.
That was correct.
Yes, according to the Sierra Club, at least.
Right.
That is who their founder was. And because I looked it up after the question to make sure, and that wasn't correct.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't correct. Okay.
Yes, it was correct.
All right. Yeah,
I've forgotten who the other answer was, but not according to this. Whatever it was, that was not the Sierra Club's answer. I wanted to give credit to John Muir.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You guessed Muir, and the caller said no, right?
I don't remember.
I remember being shocked.
Okay. All right. Good.
I was sure you were right.
I think I blocked it out because I was so shocked.
Yeah,
that I was wrong. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's an audience participation quiz program. If you'd like to join us and participate, that number is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, in 1988, Margaret Thatcher became the longest ruling prime minister of 20th century British, in 20th century British history. Who did she surpass?
But not in the 20th century.
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
If it was a king, Joshua would get that.
No, yeah, but I'm trying to think who. I mean, I know some. Was it Gladstone?
No.
That's a good guess. Melbourne?
No.
Peel?
No.
David Lloyd George.
No.
All right, I'm done.
Pitt the Younger. Well, there was Pitt the Older and Pitt the Younger.
Nope.
Pitt the Younger already had a record. He was the youngest.
He was the youngest.
He is still the youngest ever.
No.
Yeah.
Is this a name that's familiar to you, Jerry?
I've heard of it vaguely, but I'm not. It's not my.
Not your thing.
Not my
so fort. It's not Churchill.
No, it is not Churchill. No.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how many years it was? Do you have that written?
No.
In there?
No, no.
All right.
No.
Well, we'll think about it.
All right.
How long did Thatcher? 12 years? 16 years?
No, it wasn't that long. Let's see. 19.
It's about
79 or 80 to 91, I think. So I might be off by a year here or there. But yeah, I guess it was about 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, at least, I think, yeah. Okay. Well, I thought you would get that for sure.
Well, disappointed again.
Yep.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, I got a couple of answers. But first, Jerry, thank you for your article on noise at Candlestick.
Oh, thank you for liking it.
Well, every once in a while, every year the high school baseball championships are played at Pac Bell.
Uh-huh. And, AT&T, actually.
AT&T. And all you hear are crowd noises and what's going on the field. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's great. That's the music that I like, yeah.
Anyway, is one of the five works Fanfare for a Common Man?
It is not.
I was going to guess that myself.
There is a piece by Copeland on the list.
So. Okay. And the bear, the state bear, Bear Flag Bear, Monarch.
That is correct, Monarch.
Oh, very good. Monarch of the Daily.
Examiner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hearst bought the animal.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, Monarch is the name of the bear on the California flag. Very good. And Josh, go ahead.
Wait, there's a Copeland piece, but it's not Appalachian Spring, and it's not Rodeo, and it's not...
Gee whiz.
El Salon, Mexico.
And I'm sure it's not the Third Symphony, is it?
It is the Third Symphony.
It is, really? They're playing that all over town?
Yeah.
That surprises the hell out of me.
Me too, and I don't know much about it.
Wow. Okay, so that's two. We got Rhapsody in Blue, we got the Copeland Third.
Right.
And I know they don't play the Roy Harris Third anymore, do they?
Unfortunately not. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's a nice piece, but I mean, it was... Yeah. All right. Let's see. What have I got for you here? What fictional location gets its name from the French phrase cul-de-sac?
Fictional location.
A fictional location gets its name from the French phrase cul-de-sac.
You mean it's in a famous novel? Or
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Is it the title of the novel?
No. It's certainly not the title. I'm trying to think if it's in the subtitle. It's not the subtitle.
Okay. Is the novel written in English?
Yes.
Hmm. So all right. Corruption of it, more or less?
I'm not going to say more than that about the process by which it comes.
All right. Just read it once more, please.
What fictional location in an English work of English literature gets its name from the French phrase cul-de-sac?
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Anybody there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Am I on?
You are.
Okay, I have a... is that Grand Canyon Suite?
No, not Grand Canyon Suite.
Okay, now, about the most dangerous city. Can that be San Angelo, Texas?
No, it is not.
How about Bayou Pompon in Louisiana?
No, it is not.
Provo, Utah?
No, it is not.
Okay, I guess I'm missing on that. I have a question.
All right.
What nation leads the world in horseshoe crabs?
Horseshoe crabs? Oh.
I think that's the first horseshoe crab question we've ever had in 21 years. Horseshoe crabs.
United States.
Yeah.
Oh, good job, Jerry.
Well, it's like French fries in the South.
No, all right.
The largest group of horseshoe crabs, probably the most in the world, are in Delaware Bay and
right.
And that one that's next to it, the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, have a good night.
Appreciate that. Bye bye. And Josh, your turn.
I just gave you
the
cul-de-sac.
Okay, sorry. My mistake.
Sorry.
All right. Maybe you can tell me who this person was. I will say this: who was this person, because this person is no longer around. And yet this year, this person will probably be in the news in certain ways. Gavrilo Princip.
What's the name again?
Gavrilo, G-A-V-R-I-L-L-O, Princip.
1L.
P-R, oh, is it 1L?
Yeah.
Okay. P-R-I-N-C-I-P. So maybe I should recuse you.
I know the answer. I thought that was a well-known name.
I've never heard of this person.
Not to Jerry.
Oh, okay.
I was depending on that.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea. No, you can.
All right, go ahead, Josh.
Gavrilo Princip is the Serbian nationalist who assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife in Sarajevo.
That's right. Oh. And on the 28th of this month will be the 100th anniversary
of that event.
What are you going to be doing that day?
We're going to have a big party.
We're going to throw bombs at passing dignitaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got 10 minutes left. All right. I will give you two actors who played famous real United States generals. I want you to tell me who the...
Famous generals?
Generals, yes. And I want you to tell me which generals they played. Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan. And it was in the same movie.
Oh.
Oh,
Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan both played famous United States generals in the same movie.
Hmm. Yeah, if you don't have George C. Scott, I don't know the answer.
Oh, right.
Exactly what I was thinking, yes.
Yeah.
They are Civil War generals, by the way.
Okay. Oh. This is your era, Derry. Take it away.
My era. You guys are... Give me a hard time. No, I don't like war movies.
In The Birth of a Nation, Jerry's the one that ran for the doctor, as the old joke goes.
Yeah, I don't usually watch war movies, so I don't know.
So Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan are in the same movie playing what?
Real life Civil War generals.
Lee and Grant.
No,
in
not Lee or Grant.
Bonzo Surrenders and Diplomatics.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Good
I wouldn't
one.
Have any
right.
idea.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. This is Dana in Sunnyvale.
Oh, hi.
And as to Jerry's question regarding a dance and possibly a tune, which was superseded by the Charleston.
Yeah.
I'd hate to repeat anything that was offered earlier as I was interrupted during the first half of the show, but could it possibly be the Turkey Trot?
No, that's right around that era, I think. But
that's
not
guess.
Yet.
Nobody gave it.
Good guess, though.
We've done tried anyway. I guess I'll cook my goose. And thanks again for a great show.
Oh, thank you.
How do you do the turkey trot anyway?
I don't know.
Very carefully.
How about the bunny hug?
I remember that.
Oh, you remember the bunny hug? Okay.
I was in school when that was around.
Oh, really?
50s.
Oh.
The Benny Hop. Is that the same thing?
No, there's a bunny hug, too.
I don't know the bunny hug. Yeah. Bunny Hop, I know.
So not the turkey trot, not the bunny hug.
Down
not
in
the
old
grizzly
Kentucky,
bear.
Where horseshoes are lucky. I hated it.
All right, wait a minute now. It's not no. Not Ball in the Jack or anything like that.
I don't know.
All right. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Del Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a guess about the most dangerous cities for pedestrians.
Yes.
Houston?
No, but it's in the southern part of the United States.
Okay. Just a comment on the horseshoe crabs, following up that comment. Did you know that horseshoe crabs are considered a delicacy in parts of Asia?
Well, here too, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, I've never encountered them.
No.
But anyway, we have that experience to look forward to, I guess.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, no question. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
How about Miami? Because there are so many elderly
people
there. Yeah,
exactly. You're finally using the correct logic there, Jerry.
Fine. What do you mean finally? Instead of just a wild guess.
Yeah. instead of flailing around,
it is
throwing
rare
out things.
When everything else fails, I'll go back to logic.
Okay. Yes, Miami, Florida is one of them. Okay. On the top five. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I couldn't resist.
You're determined.
You couldn't stay away, could you?
Yeah.
So, did Wings not get a director?
That is correct. Good. Wings is the first one.
William Wellman.
Now, I would think Around the World in 80 Days didn't have a director.
That's not on my list of these are
who,
the
who was the director?
Who directed that?
Anderson.
Yeah.
Can't think of his first name.
Michael
Anderson. Okay.
What about Argo for
That's correct.
Ben Affleck did not get that.
That's right.
Yeah, I got it from the 2012.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that gave
good job.
Yeah.
And then the other two that I thought of, but they're really weird. Mm-hmm. All the King's Men are Driving Miss Daisy.
Driving Miss Daisy is correct. Well done.
I remember there was some sort of controversy.
Exactly. So that was, what, Bruce Beresford, I think.
Yeah.
Did not get nominated for that. Well done. You cleaned out the category. Thank you for that.
Okay, well, you guys.
You can hold your head high again, Thomas.
Right. See, it was worth calling back, wasn't it?
Yes. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Thomas. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, I've got to recuse Jerry. He keeps guessing my answers before I get them. I had Niagara and I had Miami. Oh. On the language question, what is the language the Roma speak, the Gypsies? Isn't that the Germanic language you're referring to?
It is not.
I don't think it is, but I don't...
The language comes from India.
It's Aryan.
Yeah, their language comes from India.
Urdu.
And so I thought you wanted the non-Germanic.
No, I was looking for a Germanic. You got it backwards. I was looking for a Germanic language that's native outside of Europe. And someone got that. It was Afrikaans, which is a...
I heard that.
Okay.
What about the Roma language? Because the Gypsies are originally from India, the people.
Right.
I understand it. Oh, well.
Thank you.
All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter England Park.
Hi, Peter.
I couldn't stay away either.
No.
Is the dance the cakewalk?
Nope.
Okay. Not bad.
And
good guess.
For a cul-de-sac, is it Tolkien's Bag End?
Yes, it is. Well done.
Great.
What is it?
Well, that's where Bilbo Baggins lives in The Hobbit. He lives in a place called Bag End, which is just a straight translation of cul-de-sac out of the French.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Time to clean up here. No wonder I never eat.
I got nothing. They just cleaned me out.
All right.
Well, the dance craze I was looking for before the Charleston was the shimmy.
Oh.
Remember the shimmy?
Gilda Gray.
The shimmy, yeah.
Yeah.
The British Prime Minister, who was the longest ruling PM before Margaret Thatcher, was Herbert Asquith.
Oh, that's at the beginning of World War One. Yeah.
And one other. What's the other one I had? I thought I had another one. Oh yeah, the Great White Way. It has nothing to do with the lights, but it was coined by a reporter in 1902 in his story on a massive snowstorm that blanked Broadway.
Oh, I see.
Blanketed Broadway.
Interesting.
All right. And you don't have anything, Josh.
I got nothing.
Okay, here we go. The five most dangerous cities for pedestrians, according to Consumer Reports in the United States, Orlando, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Miami, Florida.
My logic didn't extend quite far enough.
And Las Vegas, Nevada. Because you're blind. When you're coming out of the casino, you're blinded by the sun.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And
what are the other American?
Well, let me get the two actors who played generals, Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan. Errol Flynn played Jeb Stuart, J.E.B. Stuart, and Ronald Reagan played Custer in the movie about John Brown. Santa Fe Trail. Okay. According to American Symphony League, the five most performed orchestral pieces by American composers: Barber, the Violin Concerto. Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin, Copland Third Symphony, Bernstein, Symphonic Dances from West Side Story, and Ives, Three Places in New England.
Really?
Really.
I'm impressed.
Okay. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thank you.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week. Please remember us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Bye-bye.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's got to be this or that.